Do your damnedest. We're gonna do it live, gamer. Don't you even worry.
Do
about
it live. Oh, fucking gamers, we've got.
I don't think I've ever. Have I ever been in this high definition on this show before? You feel weird.
No.
People can see all my flaws. No.
And you know how many there are? Bagel. Zero. Zip.
Goose egg, baby.
Goose egg. There's
Dylan. People are going to see all my flaws. And they're going to be like, oh, shit. There's no way that guy's real. And it's gonna make people feel bad. Because of the lack of flaws that I have.
Dorkmon is made by Super Dylan and an AI-generated guy.
I have no flaws but six fingers.
Best friend. Yeah. Oh, those fingers. They wrap all the way around. That's what they'll
all
say.
All the way around what? Finish it.
The edge of the photo. You know how an AI does.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Are you drinking? Because you said that you were sleepy.
Yeah.
Are you drinking, man?
But I did pour a drink because nice. It's Dorkspawn. Yeah. What do you have?
What you got? Is that whiskey Coke?
Whiskey Dr. Pepper.
Fuck. Oh. Coconut rum Dr. Pepper. We're both drinking Dr. Pepper.
You're in the Dr. Pepper. Yeah.
Household.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Household. The Dr. Pepper household.
Well, it's because it's American Dr. Pepper and Canadian Dr. Pepper sucks. Is so, like, battery acid dog shit. But,
the Canadian one is.
Canadian one is. But then the British American is the same and is delicious, is arguably, like.
Yeah.
Top three soda pop.
How many times do you think we've talked on this show about the difference between American and Canadian Dr. Pepper? Because I know it's more than
it's
once.
Not once. I tell you that much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you've been listening to old episodes. Right. Do you know?
I have been.
Has it happened? Have you heard it?
Do I know how many times?
Yeah.
No, I don't. I haven't re-listened to the whole show, but I have been listening back and, oh my God, we're so charming.
We're so fucking funny. But we're so. But we're also, so look at this.
I was so tired. Now I've got the fucking giggles.
Ah. Oh, it's sleepover energy. Oh my God. Oh, hey, gang. Welcome to our sleepover episode. Energy. It's going to be 8 hours long, and we're going to talk about our feelings later.
Oh my God. We're going to talk about our feelings, and we're gonna hold hands, and then we're going to wonder about our identities out loud. That's what we're going to do.
And we're going to bring something up nonchalantly just to, like, float out if it's okay to, like, think those thoughts and think those feelings.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if, depending on the reaction, we're either going to pull back really hard or we're going to be like, we're going to admit some stuff.
Yeah. We could punctuate everything with a nice little hearty laugh. All our dark secrets, and just have a laugh afterwards.
Yeah.
And then giggle
just like,
about it.
If the silence is too long. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
I actually think that we're what? We're making dorks. I'm Dylan.
There we go.
I've never played Mass Effect 2. I've played Mass Effect 1, and that's it. No other Mass Effect games.
And I'm Bobbin. I've played every Mass Effect game. Well, I've played the Mass Effect trilogy 100 million times. Never played Andromeda.
You've not played Andromeda. Okay.
Not played Andromeda.
Cool.
No.
That's fun.
But this is Dorkspawn.
It is. What's Dorkspawn, Robin?
Dorkspawn is a little show that me and you do where we play story-based choice games, and then we talk about it like a book club. We've done all of Dragon Age, now we're on Mass Effect 2. We are doing... I got to get up my fact sheet so that I can pretend I know more about the Mass Effect universe than I do.
I have my notes. My notes are a little bit of a mess, but I have them.
We did
do Horizon.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 pages of notes this episode.
Oh, that's crazy.
Could not tell you why. I just do, for some reason, have 10 pages of notes.
Yeah.
We did Horizon, and then we got the Justicar. Mm-hmm. We did that.
The Justicar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is the first of the second round of dossiers. Hello, Dylan. Hello.
Right.
Question at the back.
Hi. Question. So before we did Horizon, I realized that I had not really, I've been neglecting my crew. I haven't been chatting.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been trying to get stuff done. And the last couple of weeks I've been a little bit rushed. So I've just been like jumping from dossier to dossier. So I went and talked to people. I want to say I talked to everybody, but I think I actually did miss someone. So someone might,
so someone's
now that
jealous.
I'm thinking about it.
Who did you,
someone
who did you
might
speak
be
to?
So I spoke to Grunt.
Huge.
One, I've decided I'm hostile to the AI. And I wrote down that I hate the AI. And it's possible I forgot why. But I was like,
she's owned
AI.
By Cerberus
Let's
and won't let you into a lot of places, so.
That's it. Yes, yeah. It's because she won't let me into shit, and she keeps locking me out of files and, like, telling me that stuff is mm-hmm. like, confidential to me. And so I'm like, oh, now I'm being rude to her all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Good.
Telling her to fuck off.
Cool.
Yeah. Grunt is having a identity crisis.
Sick. So this would be after Horizon, right? Because the identity crisis happens in Act 2. Yeah. Sick.
Yes.
Nice. Good.
Yes.
No, I like it.
Okay.
Yeah, we can.
Again,
yeah.
My notes are all over the place.
Yeah. No, I'm here for it.
Yeah. I talked to Jacob a little bit. I talked to Jacob a little bit. He's so annoying. He's such a kiss ass. he's like, give me a break. I like that he's critical of Cerberus a little bit. But he is sort of like libertarian about the whole thing. He's like,
unfortunately,
work with Cerberus.
A lot of your crew
Cerberus.
Kind of has to be a little bit.
Yeah,
if they're on.
Because
the thing is if they're old crewmates, then they've joined you because it's you.
Mm-hmm.
If they're human new crewmates, they have to be libertarian. Because otherwise, why are you joining this crew? It's pretty sus that you're doing that. Jacob is Miranda. Is,
but he did stop a bunch of Batarians from who wanted to kill the council.
Yep.
Don't care obviously about the council because I killed the council.
Yeah.
but I like that he killed a bunch of Batarians because fuck those guys.
Because they took a bunch of your people. You don't like Batarians, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Miranda is so stupid. She's really trying to convince me that Cerberus isn't evil. Straight up, there is a line of dialogue in talking to Miranda where you're like, yeah, but who keeps Cerberus in check? And she's like, nobody. We just trust the elusive man. And you're like,
you dumb.
Stupid. You're so stupid.
Did you, you said that you talked, sorry, yeah, you go.
Miranda is, I wrote down Miranda's an empath. like in quotation marks.
Nice.
Because she's like, no one knows the elusive man, but I know for a fact that he has humanity's best interest at heart. Because I get people, because I know people so well.
Yeah. I just kind of stand and next to him and I get that feeling.
I get that feeling. I know it. yeah. Talked a little bit to Garrus. Interesting things with Garrus. He's really happy to be back, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Love him so much. He is like weirdly warm about Cerberus, but it seems like it's only because of the technology that they have and isn't like,
yeah, it's
on
like,
board with Cerberus.
No, it's a thing where it is a tech thing, but it's kind of the thing that Garrus likes, which is like, yeah, they just kind of do shit because the council and the red tape, they just don't care about. So then they just go in and just do their own thing. And they brought you back to life. And how bad can they be?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But he also, like, in talking about how they kind of exactly that, is talking about how he got his squad killed, which, like, he didn't really get his squad killed. He was betrayed by a Turian named Sidonis, who's still out there, and Garrus is having what Ani is saying is a normal reaction, the correct reaction to being the sole survivor of a incident, which is to feel fucking dreadful and need to do something about it. Mm. And that is my guy. That is my man.
That's your husband.
I don't think I talked to Morden Solis about anything new, because I think I have here all the stuff about his work on the genophage we already talked about last time.
Okay. So, yeah. I'm just saying because this is a... So,
talk to me.
Jacob, you get his loyalty mission, which is his dad has returned... Or not returned, but he's got a beacon signal sent to him through Cerberus Network because... his father's ship that went missing 10 years ago has picked up a distress signal and that's obviously super weird. Jacob's like, I'm not close with my dad. I'm not far from my dad, but that's weird, right? I want to go check it out. And he's unfocused. The idea of loyalty missions in this is you have to, after Horizon, the Elusive Man actually states, you have to make sure that your team is like locked into you and there's nothing else on their mind.
So Act
which is what
is like...
the loyalty missions are, is making sure that there's nothing else like that they kind of want to do. Jacob needs to go find his dad. Miranda has one. Did you get that?
I don't know. I must have gotten it. I don't remember what her thing is.
Miranda has a sister, a twin sister, on Ilium, and her father is hunting her sister down. Now, this is a thing that we didn't talk about, and I think this is interesting, because this comes up in a conversation about trans characters in Mass Effect. Miranda is a perfect clone of her dad in every way, but is a woman. And everyone's like, Miranda, like it or not, is like was born male and is clearly... like identifying as a female now.
Because she's just been biotically modified a bunch of times.
Yeah, and it was like is a literal genetic clone of her father, as is her sister, who is Miranda's twin, also a genetic clone, but without as many biotic like perfections put in. So technically, both of them are.
Twins.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
That is interesting. I wonder, like...
Because I was Googling... I think I was literally just Googling Mass Effect trans characters, because I think someone twigged something in my mind when I was playing one, and then I read this whole thread, and almost every single response of people being like, well, Miranda is a trans character, because...
That's
of
wild.
A perfect genetic clone of a man, and then
had
it's clearly not. Yeah,
I'm curious what her twin sister looks like.
Yeah, same. I'm wondering if it's... because she says twin sister, and I'm wondering if it is, like, it just looks exactly like Miranda, or is... I don't know.
Right, or is different. Yeah,
in some way. I'm interested in it. Anyway, that's hers. And that's the reason why I mentioned it now, I also got... Grunt, we got his loyalty mission.
Yeah.
He's freaking out.
We got
but
his
in,
right
like,
away.
A, I want to hurt things, but in a way that doesn't make sense. In a way that's not what I'm normally doing.
Right.
Yeah, so you are you get the go-ahead to go to T'Chanka, which is the Krogan homeworld, to figure out what the fuck's going on. I also got Morden's personal mission, loyalty mission. I don't know if you
did. Right, which... Morden's is... Didn't write it down.
Hell yeah, baby. I got Morden's...
We're doing great so far.
After I got... After I did the Justica bringing on mission.
Okay.
So you might not have it yet.
Maybe I didn't. Because all I talked to Morden about was getting his backstory on the genophage. I don't actually know that I talked to him again a second time after that.
I also got Jack's loyalty mission as well. So I have all of their loyalty missions.
That's who I didn't talk to.
Didn't talk to Jack? Didn't talk to my queen.
Yeah, fuck.
My favorite
I know.
Lady.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I love her so much.
And obviously Garrus is we need to find Sidonis.
I actually didn't get Garrus's loyalty mission, so that's fun. I know what he wants to do, but I didn't get the mission dictating, hey, you can go do this now. In terms of loyalty missions, I got the Master Thief. I did her loyalty mission. Great mission. So we could talk more about that, even though we mainly talked about it last week.
We did. But any notable...
Yeah.
Notable
character things? There's a Darkspawn in it. There's a statue of a Darkspawn ogre in the...
There's a statue of a Darkspawn?
Did you not see the giant statue of a Darkspawn ogre?
I
in
don't
the loyalty
think
mission?
I don't think I did, but
no.
There is...
Yeah, you know where there's room of all of the statues?
Yeah.
Yeah, there is a... Like, as you enter, there's a giant one of a Darkspawn ogre.
Oh, man.
And they comment on it as well. If you go up to it, they're like, man, I wouldn't want to one-on-one this thing.
Oh, my God, that's so funny.
Yeah, it's cool.
That is so funny.
It's a Darkspawn.
There's
ogre.
Another Dragon Age maybe not reference, but I actually can't tell if this is a reference.
Is the red sand thing?
The red sand thing, the Fenris mechs.
Oh sure, yeah. Well, because that's a difficult one because Cerberus. Loki mechs, Fenris mechs, it's all mythology stuff.
Right.
But it's called Fenris. And this came out like a couple months to a year before Dragon Age 2. So we can only imagine.
Yeah.
Can only imagine that they're
and
referencing
those
our boy.
Fenris mechs, they drop in out of nowhere and our guy would kind of do the same thing. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, I think it's that.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
They're also all voiced by the guy.
Yeah. They're all
voiced by wish I had his
all
name
of them.
On key. That would be a way better bit. They also have the Statue of Liberty's head, which I thought was really cool. Okay. The mission. probably listen to last week, but you're trying to find this gray box thing, you're doing heist shit. It's really very cool. I like the mission a lot. I think it's fun. You end up breaking in to a vault to get this gray box, which has all of the memories of Kazumi's, like, lover, partner in crime, both.
Right. Yeah.
You break out. You confront the guy. He's in this big, cool, flying ship Kazumi does some sick fucking teleporting Spider-Man ass moves to jump onto the ship and disable it. Then you take it out and it's very cool. There is a choice at the end of this where Kazumi kind of like hacks into this memory chip, confronts, you know, her old lover. And the thing, they have information that could destroy the Alliance, apparently. But that information is directly tied to videos and essentially all of his memory banks of their time together. And she can either destroy all of it and then have this, the chance of like this Alliance information getting loose and destroying the Alliance, or just going into the wrong hands or whatever, or can keep it and then be able to like relive their love story over and over again. And you have a choice of telling her what to do. What did you end up doing?
Not giving it. Not letting it fall into anyone's hands is the worst option. Like, letting it fall in... Having the possibility of it falling into the wrong hands is the worst option. And I'm very sorry, because the other is not much better, but it is worse, for sure.
I told her to destroy it. Well, no, I was like, this is what he wanted, but it's really down to you. And then she's like, fine, fuck it. And then destroys it.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of the Alliance. I would love to know what thing is so horrific that they have on there that will destroy the Alliance's reputation. But, hey-ho. We'll never find out. All right, be in pieces. So, rewind. Horizon. The mission. Horizon. The elusive man. You go. What's up?
This guy. the fucking elusive man. The elusive man tells us that one of their colonies has just gone silent. Mm-hmm. And obviously we got to go there. He also tells us that fucking Caden Alenko is going to be there. Does he tell you, oh my God, is it the
that
same?
Ashley is
it
gonna
that
be?
Ashley's there?
Ashley's stationed there, yeah. They're there for different reasons, though. I know that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Caden is there. I'm like, oh, no, because we kissed.
Oh, beans.
Oh, beans. And I rightly point out that I'm like, so the collectors were, like, targeting this place. And now it's gone radio silent. We've got to go in, obviously. And I'm like, oh, sure. The collectors just picked this place that one of my oldest allies happens to be on.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you. Then we go see the professor to prepare. He's studying his little bee.
Yeah. He's making it so that we don't get paralyzed by the seeker swarms in the way that every other person is getting. He's making
every
sure
other
that we
person.
Don't get that. Yeah.
Have you heard of the BioWare Turn?
Yeah.
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 I've never quite noticed it so much as I've started to notice it
in Mass
now
Effect.
In Mass Effect, in 2 specifically. I and maybe even in this series of like this mission and that we just did, I feel like it happens a lot.
Yeah, it's like you can kind of see animation turn start as they, they like lock into place and then turn.
Yeah. So when we go to Horizon, before we actually land there, we get like a cutscene that shows us stuff that we're not really privy to.
Mm-hmm.
And we do see that Caden is on planet. And then we see this Power Rangers ass villain this
the Harbinger.
the Harbinger of Ascension.
I fucking love the Harbinger. He's so cool. So kind of the leader of the collectors is the Harbinger.
Right.
The collectors are. This kind of reveals that the collectors are a hive mind. They're all bug based creatures.
Yes,
and the Harbinger can
I did say evil bug guy.
Evil bug guy.
Is what
the Harbinger can jump consciousness into any creature, making them super tough. Like it makes not any creature, any collector, making that collector really like essentially turn into a mini boss. Makes it this really fun mechanical thing where you can kill the Harbinger, but if there's another collector, the Harbinger will assume direct control, which is what he keeps yelling every time he does it, and I love it.
Yeah.
It's him going, assuming direct control. It was going to be the line that I was going to pitch for the end of this is assuming direct control, because it's like the thing that he says. He says it all the time.
He's got a crazy deep voice, too.
He's so cool. I fucking love the Harbinger.
I hate him. He's so sick.
But it's this cool mechanical thing where he'll assume direct control of one of the collectors, turning it into a mini boss. If you kill the Harbinger, but there are other collectors still alive, he will just jump consciousness and make an additional mini boss happen. So you have to kind of, he assumes control, kill every other collector, and then kill him, and that's the way to stop him. And then he is kicked out of the kind of map. Really fun. I think he's so cool. Again, the assuming direct control thing is my favorite. It's a thing that I just remember from this. I think he's really fun, enemy in this. He's not the Saren. It's a different type of villain, but he's just the guy.
Well, it's not a Saren because it's like he's so present so early.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Saren, there was so much buildup before we ever confronted him.
Yeah, that's true.
Saren's also a
personal vendetta you have against Saren, because he's also a Spectre and you're, like, close to him. Harbinger is a villain, but he's the lead villain of this, but he's not a, you know, he's not a personal thing. It's like he's just the head of this evil alien.
Right, and he doesn't seem, it's not personal, and it doesn't seem like, you know, I get it.
Yeah. He's cool, though.
These fights were kind of tough to me.
They're pretty tough. They're hard.
I got really into my projectiles.
Are you in the prologue of this, in our first episode, you were like, you were saying that you were looking forward to using your powers more. Is that a thing that you're doing in this game? Is like getting more engaged with...
Next question.
Cool. So no, then, is the answer.
I mean, the thing is, I don't know what I'm doing, but I am hitting all of...
Your power-ups.
I am wildly doing all of the power-ups and... Sometimes it does what I
wanted to do. Are you using ammo power things where you attach an ammo type onto your weapon?
What do you mean?
So, every class has an ammo boon. There's different elemental types. There's like fire, ice. I think there's an electric, and then there's like a disruptor, like a void, like ammo type that you put on. It is a power that you select. So if you hold down what is RB, I think you're using an Xbox controller, so it'll be RB. You can then click on one of the ammo types, and it will attach it to your weapon, and it just stays on. It just ups your weapon's damage by a stupid amount, and does additional effects. So I always have fire on. I have access to two. I have fire and ice. Fire does more damage to health and sets people on fire if they have no shields or armor on. I then, like, burn people to a crisp, which is really good for what my tactic is, which is teleporting in and firing as many shotgun rounds into people. There is also Cryo, which is the freeze, which does, I think, slightly more damage to shielding, but then when there is just health, it freezes enemies in place so they don't do anything, and then you can just shoot them till they've exploded. Shock, I think. Oh no, shock might do more damage to biotics. I don't know what that does with health. And then Void just does base way more damage to everything. And it's good. It's an important thing to put on. In the like loading menu, it consistently says at the bottom, put ammo types on your gun. It makes it better. And every character can do this as well. Like, every class has different ammo types that they can like cycle
different
through.
Things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just hold down your, like, ability wheel every now and again.
Every now and again, and just take a look at
just
it.
Just have a look at what you can do in the game.
We find out, while we're fighting these things and while we're running about, that, and forgive me if I'm kind of piecing this together wrong, but the collectors, we piece together that because the collectors have Prothean tech, which we now know is actually Reaper tech, we know that the collectors are working with the Reapers. Hey, Robin.
Hey, Dale.
Robin, I want to show off how strong and cool my original characters are, but I simply can't keep throwing my Hero Forge minis at people.
Well, have you heard that Hero Forge has just launched two new types of minifigures? One of them is a color acrylic keychain that's the same size as your Hero Forge standee.
Oh, so I could just, like, carry it around with me and not throw it at people? Oh, I'm looking right now at their website, and they also just launched 100% stainless steel minifigures, so I could totally feel like an old school dork when I'm playing my games.
Ah, and if you throw them, it'll have more impact.
Oh, I'm gonna throw them everywhere.
Thank you, Hero Forge, for sponsoring this ad. We do not advocate throwing any minifigures.
No, not at all. None.
But we do advocate visiting HeroForge.com to start designing your custom miniature and dice today.
And check back often because new content is added every single week.
You see, looking up from the ground, blood-red clouds boiling across the sky.
You did ask me to bring the thunder.
Dejin! Dejin! Help! I've got the chalice, please!
Well, if they're following you, then I guess that takes care of a loose end for me.
All of you feel the earth beneath you shake and crack and break.
I feel that I have failed both of you, and I am sorry for that.
This has nothing to do with you being a bad leader.
Do you want a countdown? Oh, I think I want a countdown.
I wanted to help. I always had good intention. I did not deserve to die.
Now.
The Lucky Die Podcast is a weekly 5e Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. Join our adventure every Monday wherever you download podcasts by searching for The Lucky Die.
Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I'm here to tell you about Dice Exploder. Podcast where each week me and a rotating co-host take one tabletop RPG mechanic, just one mechanic, and break it down as deep as we possibly can. If you love thinking about role-playing games and how they work, this is the show for you. Come listen to me talk to Alex Roberts about love and pity, John Harper about elegance and layout, and Mikey Ham about, what else? Exploding dice! It's an interview show, a review show, a design show, and most of all, a show for anyone who loves these games. Come on down and join us. Find Dice Exploder at DiceExploder.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
So now the collectors are connected to this now meta plot that we know is like the overarching
plot. Yeah.
Bad guy of everything.
Yeah. I think we figure this out because we see a new enemy joins this kind of battle along with the collectors, which is Husks. Mm-hmm. which in Mass Effect 1, husks were created by the Geth using these spikes, but we're like, but there's no spikes around. They're not using drain spikes.
We actually find that out before, we figure that out before we find the husks. Because we find the husks after. Because the husks, what do I have here? That the husks have been brought here, and that the colonists from here have not been turned into husks. They've been taken away. And that they're or they're trying to take them away on their ship to maybe experiment them on them or something like that.
We just simply don't know yet. Yeah.
Dropped here and we don't know what's going on yet. I find we keep going. We're searching and fighting our way through here, and we find another fucking survivor hiding like a goddamned coward. Ani is so sick of this shit, I'll tell you what. He's a mechanic. He says he doesn't know anything about the collectors. He doesn't know anything at all. But he did see everybody get captured, and he locked himself in.
And he sealed himself in, a room. Like, full, shutter doors. It's not that he is... Because the reason why... Vitor was fine was because he's a Quarian, so was in his cryo suit, and is, they can't sense that. The reason why this guy is safe is because he full locked everyone out and shuttered himself inside, so nothing can get in or out.
Yeah. I wrote down, okay, I guess he hates the Alliance, so I'll allow him to live.
He does tell us about the defense towers.
Yes. And that we need to go calibrate their targeting systems in order to make them work. And then we can have a fighting chance against this big thing.
Their ship, which is great. I really love the setting of the ship in this. It looks awesome. You can see it from wherever you are on the map. It's... this colossal structure that's reaching into the sky, and there's this giant, weird colored storm around it. And I also love the collector ship because it's part of an asteroid, so there's this giant, rock base on it. And it's really cool looking. It might not be part of an asteroid. Cool. It looks like it is, though, and it looks awesome.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We do. Find our way over and calibrate this the targeting systems on the thing. Once we do that, then we get Joker back, which is fun. I still want more Joker. That's my biggest. I think maybe I might need to talk to him more. But. Just overall, generally, I want more Joker. This big confrontation that we get after we've calibrated everything and the ship is trying to go off planet with all of the colonists on board, or not all of the colonists, but they have a lot of the colonists
on board. Most of them,
And this big confrontation is crazy. It's so cinematic. We've got these defense things that are huge turrets that are firing at the thing. There are drones everywhere. There's shit on fire and exploding. Fucking big and dramatic. I am scared. I've been too scared to look it up. Do they always get away with the colonists?
Yes.
That is always what happens?
That's always what happens, is they always get away with the colonists. Because your goal is to just get them to leave, because otherwise you're fucked. So it's like, okay, we'll get them to leave. We'll figure it out after. Save the people who are left here. Yeah, they always get away.
Yeah. It didn't seem in the moment like that was going
and
according
to plan.
And that's
why Mass Effect 2 is really fucking good, because it makes you believe that you're failing at every possible opportunity and just
scraping by.
Yeah.
I really did think that this was like a thing I failed at that was going to have lasting consequences.
Mm. No, you're safe. Like, you're safe.
Bad ones. Okay. Very good. So, anyway, the ship gets away with all of those colonists on board. And the mechanic is like freaking out at us and being a little too high and mighty about the whole thing, considering what he's done. And then Caden comes on out and he's like too fucking dramatic about it. Caden, I knew that I was not going to continue a romance with Caden before I started playing this game, because I knew that I wanted to romance Garrus, and I only romanced Caden by accident. Had I not made that decision, the ick this man gave me, unbelievable, is literally like, you're talking, you don't know that you're talking to Shepard, coolest woman on the planet, a god even.
Oh, that's interesting. I actually wrote down that Ashley also mentions that you're a god, and I thought that was an Ashley line. I thought that was like,
no, Caden says it too. And is like so super dramatic. He comes up and gives me a big hug. And then I tried to be nice. I swear there was a rude option. There was like there was an option for me to be, I forget exactly what it was, but there was an option for me, my first reaction to him, to be a little bit like, that was a long time ago or whatever. Like right off the bat.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be that mean, so I was just like, wow, it's been a long time. And after this whole like, that's Shepard, god among humans, best woman on the planet, and comes and gives me this like big warm embrace, he pulls back and I'm just like, wow, it's been too long, Caden. He's like, what do you, it has been too long, and actually I'm pissed about it, how come you haven't fucking called me? And I'm
you don't know
was
me.
I was in a coma for 2 years. I was resurrected against my will. Are you fucking kidding? Can you calm down? I wrote all caps, I don't fucking work for them. And it's because I know that he, after chastising me for not calling him for 2 years, he's like, and now I found out you're working with Cerberus. And I was like, okay, fuck you. I'm not fucking with Cerberus. Yeah. I don't fucking work for them. You have to calm down. And he sort of calms down, but like, the energy was one, a switch that flipped so hard.
Sure.
I could never manifest an attraction to this man if I tried ever again. It was just truly embarrassing. What else is Ashley like? What was the Ashley reunion
Ashley
like?
Comes on and is just immediately extremely hostile. Does the thing where she's like, don't you know you're in the presence of a god, referring to me, and I'm like, ooh, no, thank you for that phrasing. That's crazy. And then She hates Cerberus. The mechanic, I don't know if that is the same with Caden. The mechanic hates Ashley.
Oh, the mechanic also is like, oh, all those people got captured and I'm stuck here with you, Caden. Like, is it the same kind of attitude?
It's the, yeah, he just like, he's like, oh, nothing has been good ever since she got here. Like, she is being all high and mighty and ordering us around and is just being a dick about it.
Thinking the mechanic just sucks.
That's a shame because I thought that was interesting because I was like, that is what Ashley would be like if she did all this stuff and then like, and then was put in charge of the facility. I was kind of hoping Caden would be a little different where maybe the mechanic like likes Caden or Caden just isn't the type to like put his foot down and be a dick about it, but Ashley would be. So it's like, that's where it, that's a shame.
Was very hostile.
However, a thing which I'm 100% sure Caden doesn't say, Ashley says, I'm no fan of aliens, but Cerberus are extremists. I'm like, all right, bitch.
Whoa. Imagine being too racist for Ashley.
That's literally it. Imagine being too racist for Ashley. Yeah. And as well, I had, who was on my team? I had Morden and Garrus. Thing which I'm sad about.
Oh, those are, yeah, same.
Huge. Thing I'm sad about. They didn't mention that Garrus was right here. Like, it's Garrus. You know Garrus, right?
Yeah.
You traveled with him as well for the same length of time.
Yeah, yeah.
And saying, like, I'm no fan of aliens, and having Garrus there, I feel like Garrus should have been like, hey,
Garrus should have said something.
What the fuck? Yeah. Like, that's crazy. I knew you were racist because we sat in the same, like, docking bay.
Because I stood 14 feet away from you for 2.5 years and you wouldn't shut up about it.
Yeah.
That makes sense because... sorry, we have like a tiny bit of a delay tonight, so that I'm not trying to.
No, that's okay. Yeah, I'm seeing it.
Talk
too.
Over your feet.
But next week we're not going to have any delay at all.
I know, because next week you're going to be right here.
I'm going to be right there, baby.
Yeah. I think it makes sense for Ashley though. To not acknowledge Garrus's presence. It just doesn't make sense for Garrus not to make a snarky ass bitch about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
But it doesn't make sense for Caden not to mention or like be like.
Or reference Garrus. The fact that he's there. Yeah, yeah, that's all I need. Yeah. I just need a comedy you're fucking working for Cerberus. And you, Garrus, what the fuck?
Hi, Garrus. Like,
sorry, yeah.
yeah.
Anyway, Ashley goes to go tell the Alliance that alive and all this stuff is happening.
I'm actually lying to you. I think Caden does make a comment about Garrus's presence. He did. He said something.
That's
crazy.
He
said like, oh, you're working with Cerberus, Garrus too? And it was a little thing. It was something like that,
hey,
but he does acknowledge Garrus.
The fact that Ashley doesn't do that, that kind of fucks.
Mm-hmm.
Because she fully doesn't say that because I wrote down I'm disappointed that she doesn't mention anything.
Yeah, I didn't write it down, but I remember he does actually say something. He does say a small comment.
You know what? Cool. All right.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's really
I'm back
neat.
In.
It makes her more racist.
More evil. Yeah.
More evil that she just doesn't mention a guy who she flew with for ages stood right there. Man, she sucks, huh?
She sucks, huh?
Yeah. She's quite deeply racist.
When we go back, if I'm skipping too far ahead, but when we go back to the ship, when we go back to the Normandy afterwards, we get a chat with the elusive man.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, we did it. And I'm like, the fuck? What do you mean we did it? We didn't fucking do anything. A bunch of people got kidnapped and are gone.
Yeah.
We didn't win at all. And the elusive man so casually just drops that he's the one who told the reason that everybody, including Caden, knows that I'm with Cerberus, quote unquote, is because he leaked that information intentionally to draw
the collectors
to that
horizon.
Place.
Yeah.
He's the reason the whole thing happened.
Yeah, he's the reason why, like, thousands of people have just died and been, like, collected and are about to be turned into paste. An evil man.
I'm gonna kill him so much.
Yeah. And it's crazy, because if this was, like, a fucking role-playing game, you'd go down to Miranda and be like, they are not here for the good of humanity. He just openly killed thousands of people to, admittedly, you know, because she would bite back as like but they kind of proved that they're working with the Reapers and that they're here for you. So now we have a way. And it's like, no. We could have figured that information out real fucking easy.
We're smart. We could have done it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Crazy. An evil man. But
evil
he gives you some more dossiers, and it's like, and then says your team needs to have nothing else holding them back. Pick up, make sure you do all their stuff. You need to go through the Omega 4 relay at some point. They need to be real fucking locked in, and then gives you the three of them. I don't know if you did, but I got a message from Admiral Hackett after. Had to speak to him for a bit because he says that his friend was taken in a Batarian space and you have to do the mission alone to go find her. I don't know what that mission is. I can't remember it at all, but he says you have to do it alone. A friend of mine got taken into Batarian space. Yeah, she's like a scientist. You gotta do it.
Oh, God, that's so fucking cool.
Yeah.
That's so fucking cool. I am not sure. I guess I must have talked to Grunt. I thought I talked to Grunt before Horizon, but I guess it must have been after Horizon. But he's having this like crisis of identity where did we talk about this already?
Yeah, we talked about it.
Okay. Well, never mind.
No, only briefly. He's having a crisis of, like, he's getting really angry and doesn't know what's happening to him. So then...
Oh! Maybe... Okay. I don't think I got that yet. That's why I talked to... All right. I talked to Grunt beforehand. I don't think I got this about the anger issue.
Oh!
Because I got this, the part where he's just, like, he feels he's weak. And he's weaker than other Krogans.
Oh.
Because he needed other Krogans who were better than him to make him what he is. And that he wants to find a reason to care about what he is.
Cool. Love that, actually.
So that might be it. An earlier thing, so then I don't think I got that part yet.
Okay, sure.
That is making more sense. Then the Justicar dossier.
Yeah.
Justicar
first,
dossier.
Before
we
do anything about it.
What?
Wandered around the Citadel. I wandered around the Citadel a bunch. Did you see the advertisement for Elk or Hamlet?
No, I didn't.
Oh my God. It's the funniest shit ever. It says that Elk or Hamlet is now on, like, streaming, basically. it says, it's an unforgettable 14-hour experience. And then you get, like, three or four clips from it. And it's real fucking good. It's real good. It's exactly what you want from Elk or Hamlet. It's like three Elcor saying lines from Hamlet, but doing it in that very monotone way with the, like, expression indicator at the beginning. It's so funny.
Do you know how amazing it is that you didn't tell me in one that we would get Elcor Hamlet?
I didn't know. This was as exciting for me as it was for you. Yeah. Yeah, so go to the Citadel. Next time you're in the Citadel, wander around.
Bye.
Wander around and just, like, watch advertisements, specifically in the, like, shop district. It was the first one I hit when I went into the shop district. You have to listen to advertisements. You have to, like, go off and then click A. And then, yeah.
Yeah.
It's good, though.
No, I didn't do any wandering.
No, it's very good because it's, like, it's advertised by a human and then, like, has cut to Elk or Hamlet. But it being a human makes it all the funnier when he says it's an unforgettable 14-hour experience.
That's so fucking funny. That's so fucking funny. That's so great.
Yeah, it's really good.
Quite literally every way.
A lot of real good Elk or shit. In the Citadel I had a mission with one. I talked to a bunch of them. Best race ever created by anyone ever.
They're
so
great
fucking
invention.
Good. This is in Ilium, is where you're going.
Ilium
is a new planet outside of Asari space, but primarily owned by Asari. Is who's there?
Huh?
Who's that?
I gotta pet this cat. Hang on. I gotta pet this cat because I'm trying to teach her that my bed is a place where pets happen.
Oh, very good.
I have to go reinforce it. She yelled at me
outside and ran into this room. I can't believe they missed Elk or Hamlet. If we could get like a group of people together and you could all make. We could all together make Elk or Hamlet. I actually would really appreciate that. I think we can, like, hustle together
Hang on,
and make
puppy.
That.
I can't hear you. Okay.
I know you can't hear me. I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to everyone else at home.
What?
That looks like a guy who's in America.
That guy looks strangely like someone who might be in America.
He might be in the same country as me.
Yeah.
Did you kiss the American land that?
Yes, they've kissed the American land, aka the Dr. Pepper.
You can't get Dr. Pepper in Canada. Is that crazy?
Apparently, Canadian Dr. Pepper is dog shit.
Okay, different flavors. 23 different flavors.
23. It's all different. all 23 of them are different.
23 different batteries.
Yeah. I really like. On Ilium. I don't know if this is happening other places, but I'm sure it is, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. But as I'm walking through, I was hearing just people being like, Commander Shepard, I thought you were dead. And, like, stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
And just that kind of, like, reaction and that I'm known here, which was interesting.
It is cool. Actually, speaking of being known here, in the opening port area, I don't know if you had this, but someone as you're walking past is like, oh, hey, Shepard, can you come here? And then you walk over and then it's this Asari woman whose eyes go black and then she starts speaking to you and it's the Rachni Queen speaking through her to speak to you because we saved her in one and that's really fun. We love that. I think that's that's neat. We have the Rachni Queen again. I don't think you would have, but I get contacted by the assistant from Novaria because I helped her get the fucking guy arrested that she was trying to get arrested. This is when we were trying to get Matriarch Benezia. You didn't get him arrested, but yes. I did. We find her again, and then she asks us to do another job. And then I did another job for her here. Because she was like, oh, thank you so much. I'm sorry I wasn't able to help you out that time. Can you give me another hand and I'll give you something now? And I'm like, yeah, sure. So then I help her bust this like illegal arms dealer. We learn more about her, how she, you know, she kind of wanted to... She wants to do these big, cool, like, the things that we do, but is a little too scared. So she's like, you know what? Busting white-collar criminals works perfect for me. They're never dangerous. They're just idiots and doing illegal stuff. Mm. And sometimes their illegal stuff is really bad. I like getting them. But doing what you do where you're chasing down villains is something that I couldn't do. And it's fun. It's a cool, like, you know... call back to another quest that I specifically did in one. I then go up and I meet Liara, because Liara is here now.
Yes.
And as an information broker, she's a cool lady.
Yeah.
She, you speak to her, she kisses me immediately as soon as I walk in the door.
She did not do that to me. Curious.
No, I wonder why.
Interesting.
She's really cool now. There's like a guy. There's a guy who is on her screen that's like pseudo threatening her, and then she comes right back at him, and then does like a real, "Hey, if you want to see your wife and kids again, you're gonna fucking do the thing that I fucking asked you to do." Well, it's not that brutal, but it's something like it's something not Liara at all, where she leaps down this guy's throat. Turns around and is like, oh shit, Shepard, hi, and then turns back to like the like cute kind of scientific Liara that we know, kisses me, and then is like, oh hey, I know everything that's going on. I knew that you were alive. What? You look
Robin,
confused. Hello.
It is just that you are freezing for like whole minutes at a time.
Beans.
And it wasn't this bad for most of the episode, but for the last like 5 minutes, it's
yeah.
And just now you blinked and it took about 10 seconds. Putting the Justicar into the next episode.
Okay.
And covering it in the next one.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I'm willing to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. I'm getting nervous about the that it might be. Yeah.
Okay.
Although now you're fine.
Now I'm fine. But before I was evil.
Before the last a few minutes ago, you stopped for such a long time that I was like,
I saw because your face was so close to your mic in like a really heavy concentrating trying to figure out what I'm saying way, which is why I you wouldn't have noticed, but I started slowing down my speech patterns to be like, and something is happening here.
Yeah. Okay, while things are good, let's do a little sign off.
Okay. And then we'll do the Justicar next.
We'll
week.
Do the Justicar at the top of the next one.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Hey.
Hey.
We keeping all of that conversation in.
I'm gonna listen back to it at work tomorrow and see what we have. I'm going to see what it sounds
all right.
like.
Well, if internet is tough, is internet is tough, and we'll call it here today.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
When would you like to record next?
Oh, I'm actually legitimately in the middle of some calibrations at the minute.
Hell yeah, baby. That's good. That's fine. I'm fine with having low internet if it means we can genuinely do the bit. That works for me.
Yeah, yeah, It's earnest now. From here on out, technical difficulties are actual calibrations.
Yes.
Good.
Beauty.